Practically every month of the year, there is a Marian feast day that we can celebrate. In this series of Marian feast, we began with January 1st, which is the very first day of the year, being dedicated to the Blessed Mother and her motherhood of God. What an amazing thing. What a wonderful way to start the year. Well, in the second month of the year, February, which is so cold in many parts of the United States, we have another wonderful feast, Lourdes. And tonight, and today, I want to share with you that story. Join me in this video. Friends, please pray with me. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Saint Bernadette, pray for us. St. Maximilian Kolbe, pray for us. Our Lady of Lourdes, pray for us. Amen. Friends, Lourdes is a personally powerful story for me. Let me give you some of the details of the story and then share details about my own life. So, and any of you that know me know that I'm not the best with details and with dates, but the year 1854 in that southwestern region of France, the area right close to the Pyrenees and right on the border between Spain and France. There's also Andorra, is another small country that's right there. In that area, in an unknown area that was just marsh and caves and a cold, wet river and some poor peasants that spoke a local dialect, the Blessed Mother chose to appear more than 18 times to this young woman named Bernadette Soubirous, who was a very simple, uneducated girl. She chose her, appeared to her many, many times, because through her and through the apparition, she wanted to pour out into the world graces of healing. And she wanted to do this through her Immaculate Conception, since it is this grace where Jesus chose to save and heal the Blessed Mother at the moment of her conception, before she even really came to life. At the moment of her conception, Mary was healed, and therefore God uses her as an instrument of healing. That's the theology behind it. Mary came to share this with the world in that year of 1854 or 1850 or somewhere around there. Maybe it was 1858, but I'll put the correct date here in the information. And this was a trial for Bernadette. People didn't believe her. Her family didn't believe her. People thought she was crazy. She was asked to eat mud by the Blessed Mother. She was asked to dig. She was asked to make a fool of herself. The town started coming against her, and there was also people that believed her, that came and prayed with her and brought their candles. By the way, this is a candle that a friend of mine brought me from Lourdes, and I've had the privilege of being in Lourdes 4 times. What a grace. It's like heaven. Eventually, what ended up happening was, because of her sacrifices, Bernadette, people came to experience the Blessed Mother themselves, fall in love with her, and that was the beginning of this wonderful shrine that has healed millions and millions of people in the more than 150 years that it's been around. It's a wonderful, wonderful place. You get there by flying into Paris and then taking an hour and a half flight into the Tarbes. I took French in high school, but it's kind of rusty. The Tarbes Airport, then you take a car, about 30-minute rides into Lourdes. You stay at a hotel, and there you are, about 20 minutes walking down to this little valley is this wonderful shrine. So let me just tell you my story, and please listen. Take some time. I know people that watch YouTube can be a little bit ADD, and they go from video to video. Stick with this one. It'll be worth it. So I had a chance to go to Lourdes. The first time was in 2005. There was a lot of things that happened. The weather was bad, cold and rainy, kind of like today here in Houston. And we weren't able to go into the baths, which is the highlight of Lourdes, the bathing in the water, the drinking the water. We did not have that experience. We ran around for a couple hours and had to leave. And I was so distraught. We tried to rearrange the trip where I myself would go, but it was too expensive and too complicated. So I came back home to the U.S. just crestfallen and so tired of heart. And I'd lost this motivation and courage, I felt so dejected, as if the Blessed Mother had rejected her, had rejected me herself. Well, she was waiting to give me the grace of healing a little bit later. About 3 years later, I was in the hospital for a small bowel obstruction, and I was there for a few days. A friend of mine came with a small bottle of Lord's water. It wasn't just any bottle. It had a picture of Saint Therese. Going back, flashing back 3 years later, what happened after that incident at Lourdes? As we were finishing our trip in France, we stopped by the supermarket one day, and I was so angry that we didn't get a chance to bathe in the waters that I went out of the supermarket to this beautiful country French church next door. It happened to be unlocked, and I went inside and I prayed in front of a statue of Saint Therese, which had the most beautiful glass eyes, so it felt like she was real. And I told her in the poor French that I knew, Saint Therese, please give me a chance. Please help me to not be angry. Please give me a chance to see Our Lady, Our Mother at Lourdes. She wouldn't answer for 3 years. Now, 3 years later, flashing back to that scene in the hospital where my friend brought me that small bottle of Lourdes water with that little sticker of Saint Therese, I drank it. The next day they did an x-ray and my obstruction was healed. And I was out 2 days later. It literally was a miracle. Three more times I had the chance to go to Lourdes. Lourdes is an amazing, amazing place. As my French friend says, it's like heaven. And I would say that he's wrong. It's like heaven, heaven. It's so awesome. It's so difficult to describe how awesome is. I would even say maybe it's better than heaven. It's just that amazing. You get there and it's just this French weather, rainy and cold and gray, but there's this warmth that's there that's difficult to describe. The love of the people, the faith, everything that happened there, its history, so much. That's France in a nutshell right there. Every day it's like there's just small showers, and usually I go in the summer where it's a little bit warmer, but it's still kind of slightly chilly, especially in the mornings and at night. There's so many beautiful hotels, and the mountains are surrounding you in these wonderful forests. And then the inner shrine, there's these gates that surround it. In the center of this kind of green field in the shrine, there's a beautiful statue of the Blessed Mother, kind of like this. And then there is the wonderful, majestic cave where she appeared to Bernadette, underneath where the water is still flowing. Interestingly enough, there's a river next to the shrine, and the water does not come from the river. The water comes from an unknown source deep within the mountain. They've been trying to find it, and they still cannot find where it comes from. They've done several scientific studies, and it's just there. But it's not from the river that's right next to it. On top of this cave is this majestic church that looks like the Disney castle. That's the best way to describe it. And it is so amazing because you have this cave that's like about 30 or 40 feet high, and sitting on it, like a person sitting on a chair, sitting on the cave, is this majestic church that's so beautiful. It has these two arms coming out from the front that wrap around kind of like a sort of like in a circle like that. Imagine that. And you can climb up those steps to the second floor. So there's three floors. There's the bottom one, which is the main church. The second floor, which is a smaller area where they have other small chapels for private masses. They have these amazing relics of Saint Bernadette. And then the third floor, which just has a very small chapel for private masses. It's unbelievable. Really is so amazing. Right past and near where the cave is are different water sources and the baths where you can go and bathe. They have a men's section and a women's section. And the baths look like something like a concrete tub. You know, like we have a bathtub just made of concrete. When you go in there, it's amazing. So you take off your clothes. They give you these towels, which often are wet and cold. So you're freezing. You go inside, and there's usually two men there or two women. And you keep on that towel. And then they ask you to step into the water, which is freezing. It's not just freezing. It's the coldest water you've ever stepped in your entire life. It's like having a whole bucket of ice, having water flow through that, and you bathing in that ice water. It's that cold. You put your feet in, and as soon as you do that, you can't even think. because it's so cold. The men know that, so they tell you, okay, now sign yourself, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. They lead you in these basic prayers because they can see that you can't even think. And then they say, what do you want to ask Our Lady? What do you want to ask the Blessed Mother? And then they lean you back and they dip you in the water. And it's just so cold. It's so painful and wonderful. I would do it again and again and again if I could. And often when I went, I would bathe in there 3 or 4 times because it was just so awesome. And then the first time that I had that experience, the entire day, I felt so pure inside. It was unbelievable. And many others have experienced many such things. The rest of the shrine is magnificent. Right by the church, there's this small little hill that has the Stations of the Cross that literally take up the entire hill. From start to finish, you go from one side of the hill to the next. Unbelievable. So awesome. If I could upload pictures for you to see, I will. And then on the other side, there's these houses and hosts, kind of host motels where they host pilgrims, sick people, religious, and various other type of particular special pilgrims. They also have a small perpetual adoration chapel, which is just really beautiful and wonderful to pray in. They have this confessional building, and they have a small little museum. Underneath the grassy field where the statue of the Blessed Mother is, there's a massive church that looks more like a parking garage or an airplane hangar. So the building underneath, it's underground, it's ugly, but it's large, it's massive. It can fit about 15,000 people. That was their intention when they built it. But one thing that is so awesome is in the middle, on the right side, when you look down, there's a small church. There's a small little kind of cove in there where there's relics of St. John Paul II, I believe of his blood, and other particles of some of the clothing that he wore when he was a pope. Awesome relics that they have there. And they have banners hanging throughout the entire perimeter of that church. On the second floor, there's like 2 floors. And all of those are saints from all the different countries. And it's just amazing. It's amazing to see that when you're looking around, you're down in the bottom where you would normally sit and you see these banners that are huge. These are banners that are probably maybe 30 feet high and 15 feet across. Oh, they're awesome. They make up for the ugly concrete church. They're really spectacular. My friends, these are just some details about Lourdes. I love it. If you've ever been there, you'll fall in love with the Blessed Mother. Whenever COVID is over, come with me. Let's go. Who cares what happens? Let's go to Lourdes together. And if you don't go with me, go with someone. You will not regret. Doesn't matter how much it costs. Doesn't matter what sacrifices you have to make to get to that beautiful little town. You must go to Lourdes. On this Feast of Lourdes, I hope I filled you with this desire to go to heaven on earth. God bless you and have a beautiful day.